Welcome to another episode of How Did So-Called Progressive Politics Become So Regressive? The podcast that says it's okay to believe in free speech and democracy, and it's also okay to disagree with leftist populist ideologies. Today we're going to be talking about freedom of speech, discrimination, and hate speech. We need to maintain freedom of speech and accountability, but how do we prevent discrimination? So one of the greatest challenges that we face in the modern day is the prioritization of feelings over objective reality. This is a disastrous philosophy that has caused immense anguish, anger, and division. So it just doesn't work as a philosophy. Instead of teaching people to tolerate the fact that everyone is different, instead, minorities are told that they must become inflamed if anyone does not agree with their beliefs and ideologies. So there is direct promotion of resentment and disunity. This is an impossible social construct, since nobody ever agrees about anything. That's human nature. So marginalized minority groups are encouraged to feel rejected and angry because they equate disagreement with discrimination. They become even more belligerent and angry because they believe they are fighting for tolerance. The majority might actually be tolerant of this minority group, but they don't like attempts to control the way they think, and they don't like being insulted all the time. No one wants to be accused of being a xenophobe when they're not. So they push back, and the minority feels ever more rejected and marginalized, and the majority feels persecuted because they are being unfairly accused of xenophobia, and their beliefs are publicly undermined by woke influence. And the big problem with this is that it alienates the moderates. So the moderates get silenced because they're being told that they are racists or sexists, and so they feel marginalized as well. And what you really want is moderates to come together, because most moderates actually in the modern day are quite tolerant. So we want tolerant people speaking to tolerant people instead of these radicalized elements throwing hand grenades at each other. And the problem, of course, is that the media inflames this by encouraging the narrative. So they want to cast everything as xenophobes versus a victimized minority. Conflict, hatred, and heightened emotion drive media attention and profit. So the internet fuels this fight. Telling people to calm down is actually quite boring. Tolerance doesn't really sell. Now, coming back to my original point, people have always been held to account by truth and reality. In a court of law, fairness and justice depend on evidence. So it is truth that holds the justice system to account. Once we assert that feelings overrule reality, where do we draw the line, and how can we maintain societal accountability? The worst cold-blooded murderers often identify as innocent. And so if we maintain consistency here, then we should release them to murder again. Maybe Novak Djokovic identifies as the winner of the Wimbledon final. We'll have to go and take the trophy away from Alcaraz and give it back to him. In any athletics event, we'll have to give first place to the person who identifies as the winner. And what if I go and tell my bank that I identify as debt-free? Should I still pay my monthly interest? How can my bank commit hate speech and violence against me by suggesting that I'm identifying incorrectly? Can my secretaries come to work and identify as doctors, start seeing my patients? Maybe if a child identifies as a cat, we should start feeding them cat food and see what happens. So populism promotes the ideology that we can ban inconvenient facts like biology and genetics in favor of subjective feelings. This promotes division and conflict because everyone has different feelings. Communities express different social constructs, and no two people can experience exactly the same subjective reality. So how do we decide which subjective reality to endorse when they disagree? Now nobody can agree because there is no framework, no accountability, and disagreement is seen as offensive. So we've created this tinderbox of everyone fighting. This problem is exacerbated that such a focus on our own feelings is actually narcissistic. So people start to care so much more about themselves, and that doesn't create a society of tolerant people. Sensitive minorities are encouraged to believe that anyone who disagrees with them is against them. This makes them even more angry and strident. So they amplify their rhetoric and everyone is divided and offended. We've created a radicalized society. But since we've reduced the world to subjectivity, everyone believes that their feelings are more important and legitimate than others. Therefore, any argument presented that challenges subjectivist feelings is seen as an attempt to delegitimize them. The most offensive challenges are, of course, facts and logic, because they're the most difficult to defeat if they disagree with your opinion. So if we exclude objective reason, then any uncomfortable fact can be dismissed as offensive. Subjective reality is all very well, but in the past, when it interfered with others' objective realities, then the practice of a just society was to rule in favor of the evidence. Once we dispense with objective measures, there can be no true accountability. Nobody need respect societal law. So maybe someone will identify your car as their own and take it. Many rapists claim that the victim consented. So if we use their subjective feelings as the ultimate arbiter, then the world will descend into anarchy. Anyone can justify anything because the most important consideration is how they feel. Other people's feelings, by definition, are less important. Since there is no objective standard, people can justify compromising truth for their personal agenda. Because in a world that values feelings over truth, anyone can justify any action that makes them feel good. This is the route to totalitarianism and persecution, because people can also justify any compromise of freedom of speech, justice, and fairness to pursue what they regard as a righteous agenda. Of course, the justification of using improper means like censorship and persecution to achieve an ostensibly noble outcome never leads to a good place, because feelings and individuals are very poor arbiters of morality. And this leads to the moral justification of abuse of power for personal ends. So in basic summary, freedom of speech and accountability cannot survive in a system that is ruled by subjective feelings. It is reality and objective truth that hold us all to account. However, we do require boundaries to protect people from discrimination. So let's address that issue. Currently, when people observe factual differences, let's call this observation of human diversity, they are accused of discrimination. If Hitler had merely stated that Jewish people practiced a different religious culture to other Germans, then left the Jews in peace to practice their religion, this would not have constituted discrimination or hate speech. It would merely have been a statement of fact. The issue was how he used these differences to promote persecution and genocide that was the problem. The observation of factual difference is not discriminatory per se. Black people have darker skin than white people and are less prone to getting certain kinds of skin cancer. That's a statement of fact. It's not a discriminatory statement. However, once we declare others to be inferior based on their differences, if we promote persecution and target them, then we are crossing the line into discrimination and hate speech. So let me state unconditionally that I am very opposed to discrimination and hate speech in any form. So discrimination in the political sense is prejudicial treatment of others on the grounds that they are different. By definition, hate speech expresses hatred or encourages violence. So again, the observation of factual difference does not comply. To get around this, woke followers claim that those who disagree with them are committing acts of violence, thereby enabling the use of the term hate speech to describe ideological differences. So, for example, someone who uses the wrong pronoun could be accused of being offensive, but this does not constitute hate speech or violence by definition. The very same people who keep accusing everyone of discrimination love stating that their aim is tolerance of diversity. Diversity, by definition, means the acceptance of people who are different. So the factual observation of diversity in the human condition is not intolerance. If applied correctly, it can help us understand their specific sensitivities and differences and encourage greater respect and consideration and thereby encourage tolerance. So now I'm confused. Are we trying to tolerate diversity or cancel it? The equation becomes impossible with the demand that we treat people differently in a special way, specifically because they are different, but then anyone who observes the truth that they are different is accused of discrimination. If everyone is the same, there should be no need for any special considerations. Suffering does not exempt minorities from the democratic process. We should maintain the democratic right for people to disagree publicly with anyone without being accused of xenophobia. If someone else has the right to promote a certain ideology publicly, then there should be right of reply. That's quite literally the point of democracy. Otherwise, what you have is totalitarianism. Democratic principles are there to protect society and hold authority to account, to allow everyone a voice. The moment we bend these principles for special minorities and allow totalitarianism, then we put everyone at risk. Because once you empower someone with special privileges, you disempower others and create inequality and also resentment. And which opinions will we outlaw next? And who will be the arbiter of which social constructs we should ban and persecute? But wait, aren't we trying to promote tolerance and democracy? So why are we talking about banning and persecuting anyone? That doesn't sound very democratic or tolerant. Most importantly, belief in reality is not discriminatory or judgmental. It's actually the definition of sanity. Now, doctors give their compassion and care to those in need, so there is no judgment in correctly diagnosing difference and abnormality. The entire practice of medicine depends on the recognition of difference, diagnosing a condition as being different to normal, and helping the patient to attain the greatest quality of life and survival outcome. The presumption that recognizing different leads to discrimination is illogical. We don't have to ban normal to tolerate abnormal, and we don't have to deny reality to create tolerance. In summary, society requires reality and truth to maintain accountability and a rule of law. Tolerance of diversity specifically means tolerating people who are different to ourselves, so the mere observation of difference does not contradict this idea. Freedom of speech becomes discriminatory only when it promotes prejudice based on difference. Rational arguments may offend some, but they are not hate speech unless they promote hatred or violence. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to follow me and share it with your friends. And join me for the next episode of How Did So-Called Progressive Politics Become So Regressive? Please note that the views and opinions on this show are my own and do not reflect those of my colleagues or employers.